And a great passage in the Bible, as are all the passages in the Bible, and a familiar passage in the Bible. I've got all kind of messages I've preached out of this text, but I've never preached out of the verse I'm going to preach out of this morning. And I pray that it'll be a blessing. The Lord gave me this message probably about maybe 2 years ago. And it was just been sitting, and the Lord brought it to my mind, and I thought, you know what? I said, and He said, this is what I was just thinking about some things, and the Lord said, this is what I want you to preach tomorrow. And so, if you found Luke 15, say amen, and I know you're there. Amen. Luke 15, notice what it says. Luke 15, and we'll start in verse number 11. And it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me, and divide unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now we see that played out every day, do we not? I mean, if you've ever had teenagers, do we see this played out all the time? I mean, they turn 18, 19, and they think they know everything, and they're ready to live their life. But it always ends up in being a rude awakening. Does it not? I remember I told Lisa when we got married, the first week we were married, we were there at our mobile home, there at Gaslight Village. And I said to her, we're married now and we can have all the cupcakes that we want. You say, boy, you are mature. Until I went to the grocery store and realized that those things cost money. Mom and Dad had a lot of cupcakes and ding-dongs and ho-hos and potato chips and all those snacks and all that stuff. And I realized in a hurry that on a $10 budget, cupcakes isn't a part of it. You know, let me introduce you to hot dogs and macaroni and cheese and hamburger. And today it's ramen noodles. You can live on ramen noodles. And I actually like ramen noodles. I don't know that I would like them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We got some folks here that have lived on ramen noodles. And you find out in a hurry, hey, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. You find out that, hey, that rent's due on the first of the month and they expect to be paid. You find out, hey, if you don't make your car payment, they're coming to get it. If you don't make your light bill and your water bill, hey, they're turning it off. Boy, you get a rude awakening in a hurry. You know, it's all fun and games till you find out what life is really all about, right? Verse number 14, and he finds out in a hurry. It says, and when he had spent all, that never takes very long, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You know, you'd be surprised what you'll do when you're hungry. People say, I'll never eat out of a garbage can. You ain't never been that hungry. Get hungry enough, you'll eat out of a garbage can. You'd be surprised what you'll do. Hey, let me tell you. When you're cold, you'd be surprised what you'll do. When you're hot, you'll be surprised what you'll do. You do a lot of things you never thought you would do, given the right circumstance. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Think about that for a minute. I mean, he wanted to eat the pig's food, but he wasn't allowed to have it. And when he came to himself, boy, that's an epiphany. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Boy, isn't that the truth? Every parent wants their kid to come home. Every parent wants their children to succeed. Kids are so dumb, they think mom and dad hate them, and they're just trying to make their life miserable. No one loves you more than your parents. You know? And I just think to my soul, how the devil fools people thinking, hey, the people that love them the most, they think the devil's fooled into thinking that they don't love them when they really do. That's why the father, when he saw him a great way off, remember, he's looking for him. And the father ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. That tells you about something about the father. He loved his son. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither a fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came, drew nigh to the house, and he heard the music and the dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and my father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time my commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, verse 32, and this is where we take our text. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Now, we take our text from this phrase. It was meet that we should make merry. It was meet that we should make merry. And what I want to preach on this morning is this thought. Some things that should make us rejoice. Some things that should make us rejoice. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word this morning. And God, as a child of God, we can rejoice. And God, our hearts and our lives are filled with rejoicing as we honor and glorify your name and as we serve you. God, you're the one who makes us to rejoice. And God, and there are some things we can be glad about. And God, I pray you bless the word this morning as we preach on this thought where the Father said it was meet that we should make merry. God, we ought to be rejoicing when it comes to the work of God. And Lord, your power and God, all that you do. Bless the word now and help me to bring it. Speak to some sinner's heart. Bless the child of God. Lord, someone who's backslidden away from you, convict their heart, I pray as well. And God, let us rejoice together in the mighty works of God as we preach the word in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I preach on this thought of some things that should make us rejoice. Now, can I say this morning, that joy is one of the marks of being saved. If you've ever been saved and trusted Christ as your Savior, you know what joy is. Amen. There's the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. And the Bible describes it very clearly. Peter, as he penned down his epistle in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 8, he said, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him, not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Boy, you know what? When people get saved, have you ever been there when someone got saved and they're bowed their head, they're weeping with tears of repentance, and when they get done, they're laughing. You say what? Because their sorrows turned into joy. There is one of the marks of being saved is that unspeakable joy that you have in Jesus Christ. Hey, it's just like you received $1 million, a new lease on life. It's like the cripple that's been healed. It's like the person that's been raised from the dead. It's like the blind that's been given his sight. Can I tell you, when the burden of sin is lifted, there is joy, amen, in the sinner's heart, amen. It's one of the marks of being saved, unspeakable joy. Philippians 4:4, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The happiest people in the world are God's people. We got something to be happy about. I can't help but smile when I come into the church. I can't help but smile when I see another child of God. I can't help but have good feelings in my heart. Hey, and hallelujah, all them things in my brain are being released. Have those feelings of joy. And it's all because of what of salvation has done for you and has done for me. Joy is the mark of salvation. And I wonder why so many people are so miserable all the time. Sometimes I question, I say, hey, if you're really saved, why are you so miserable all the time? Where's the smile? Where's the happiness? Where's the pleasantness? Where's the joy of knowing Jesus Christ? I got unspeakable joy. I can't begin to tell you how happy I am every day. And you know what? Joy is the joy of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you? It is always there. Even when everything's going wrong. Because joy bubbles up from the Holy Ghost inside. And we'll get to that somewhere along the message this morning. Nehemiah 8:10, he said, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." What's our strength? The joy of the Lord. You know what upholds me? My joy upholds me. You know? Remember on Hee Haw, I sing this all the time, joke around about, you know, gloom, despair, agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Can I tell you, I see that every day in life. I come in contact with sinners all the time. And can I tell you, it's always gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. I said, let me tell you something. If you would give your life to Jesus Christ, your whole life would be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In seconds, you'd be a new person. And there'd be joy bubbling up inside of you. As Jesus Christ told the woman of the well, that fountain that bubbles up inside, that fountain of living waters, that's joy. That's one thing that sinners will never have. It's joy. You see, the mark of being saved is joy. It made sense that the Father said, "Son, it was meet that we should make merry," because the Father had joy. He had joy inside, a deep-seated joy. And that's what's missing in so many. Not only is joy one of the marks of being saved, but joy is the measure of our Christianity. It's a measure of Christian growth. I said, when you can rejoice when everything's going wrong, you are growing in Christ. You are growing in Christ. Hey, there have been many a times I have busted out into spontaneous laughter and joy when everything was going wrong. I'm telling you. And you're just thinking, it couldn't get any worse, and you're laughing. You know, you just wrecked your new car. You just did something crazy. And, you know, and you're thinking, oh my gosh. You're in a mess. And you're thinking, Lord, all you can do is laugh. You say, where? Because, hey, my joy isn't based on my current circumstances. And I've been in some real situations in my lifetime on numerous occasions. And all you can say is, you know, man, that's awesome. That's great. I mean, that just makes the day perfect. And you're laughing about it. You say, how can you laugh? Because my joy comes from Jesus Christ. And whatever happening in my life that's bad, God is allowing it to happen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in all things. And if you look back in 1 Peter again, 1 Peter, Peter knew all about this. And in 1 Peter, and Jesus describes what joy is and why we should have it. But 1 Peter chapter number 1 and in verse number 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Hey, as you grow in Christ, the measure of joy, the joy that you have is a measure of your Christian growth. Because a child of God who's growing can rejoice in all things, even through manifold temptations. And what an amazing thing that is. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter 4 and in verse number 12, the Bible says, as Peter describes it, 1 Peter 4:12, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." What did Paul and Silas do at midnight? They prayed and they sang praises. You read over in their book of Acts, chapter number 4 and 5, when they had beaten the apostles, they went home rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer reproach for the name of Christ. Joy is an amazing thing. It's the mark of being saved, and it's the measure of Christian growth. Can I say this? It is a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, can I tell you, you will have joy. The manifestation of the Holy Ghost is joy, the joy of Jesus Christ. The joy that you have inside of you. Romans 14 and in verse number 7. And as we think about this for a minute, when it comes to... I wrote down the wrong verse. Boy, I'm so good at that. I hate when I do that. Maybe it was verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. I can tell you what joy in the Holy Ghost is, because I've experienced many times in my life. Matter of fact, I experience it on a regular basis. I was having joy in the Holy Ghost last Thursday night. I'm telling you, I was having joy in the Holy Ghost. What was that little boy's name that we had on that bus that was so bad? Can you remember? Bentley, there you go. I remember that. That's Jonathan Lee's last name, Bentley. Bentley was trying to take away my joy. He was. But you know, I got home and I was joying that we had all them kids on the bus. Joy in the Holy Ghost. And can I tell you, I had joy in the Holy Ghost when he got off the bus. That was joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm laughing, and it's funny, but can I tell you, the joy of the Holy Ghost is real. Because even when you're doing battle and you're serving the Lord, there is a joy of the Holy Ghost. And it's the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Thank God. It says, "For he that is in these things serveth Christ, acceptable to God and approved of men." Thank God we can have joy in the Holy Ghost. Look what it says in Romans 15, verse number 13. And it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of" what? "The Holy Ghost." I understand why sinners don't have joy, because they don't have the Holy Ghost inside of them. Well, if the Holy Ghost bubbles up inside of us, it bubbles up inside of the child of God. Thank God we have something they don't have. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and in verse number 6. And again, we're talking about the joy of the Holy Ghost this morning. You know, people get scared when you talk about the Holy Ghost and they say it's spooky. It's scary. No, being filled with the Holy Ghost is the greatest thing in the world. Stirring up that spirit inside of you. He said, "Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." One time we were out preaching in Indianapolis, and it was right before the parade started. And I was the last preacher. And man, there were hundreds of people, thousands and thousands of people there. And we were preaching to a crowd of maybe 300, 400, 500 people. And I was preaching, and I was almost done preaching. But about that time, the cannon sounded and the parade started. And I, for the first time in my life, got a standing ovation. They were so glad that I was done preaching. And every one of the preachers erupted in laughter. It was so funny. But you know what the joy was? The joy was in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people. And no doubt, God had done a work that day. And we laughed about that. Hey, when we would be on that truck and they'd be throwing things at us, I got a hamburger in the face. And man, it was a warm hamburger with the warm onions and the mustard and the ketchup. And I thought, man, I just wish I had caught it because I was so hungry. But and we laughed and laughed about that. You say, what is that? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Hey, there's something about having joy. And see, the Father knew, son, what's your problem? It was meet that we should make merry. What's your problem? How come you're not happy? How come you're not rejoicing? How come you don't feel the way I do? You see, there's some things that should make us rejoice. I got a few little things here this morning on some things that should make us rejoice out of our text in verse number 32, where he said, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, is alive again, was lost and is found. The first thing is a simple little thing, and you know what it is this morning. Hey, we ought to rejoice with sinners being saved. Amen. When someone gets saved, we ought to rejoice. When someone's lost in sin and they get found, hey, it's shouting time in heaven. Amen. We ought to be rejoicing. In our text in chapter 15 and verse number 3, it says, he spake this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he found it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth the other's friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Hey, when someone comes out of that horrible pit, now that miry clay, you talk about rejoicing. When Miss Tammy said that John got saved, I was rejoicing. Man, I was rejoicing. I said, thank God, hallelujah. You know? And I'll have some things to say about that in a few minutes about my own testimony. But there's probably some other people that are rejoicing as well. Hey, there's something about when someone's lifted out of that horrible pit of sin and God lifts them up and puts them on the rock, hallelujah. Hey, it is time to rejoice and thank God that there's rejoicing in heaven, amen, and the presence of the angels. Rejoicing. Thank God for the sinner repenting. When the lost soul was saved and the sinner's repenting. Luke 5:32 says, I came not to call the righteous, but what? Sinners unto repentance. Hey, God is all about that. Look in verse number 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, seek diligently until she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found that piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. God rejoices when sinners repent. Thank God that they do. Thank God. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Hey, hallelujah. There can be a place of repentance. The Bible says, in the times of his ignorance, God winked at, but now have come in all men everywhere to repent, because he hath chosen a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, then they raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. God believes and desires and wants repentance in people's lives. The Bible says, for godly sorrow work repentance of salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. The church was, you know, the church was rejoicing when Saul of Tarsus got saved. The church in Jerusalem was celebrating when Saul of Tarsus got saved. We know him as the Apostle Paul. You read that account in Acts chapter number 9 when Paul got saved and the faith that he once destroyed, Paul began to preach and he confounded the Jews. And if you look over there in verse number 26 of Acts chapter number 9, this is what it says. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus Greeks in the name of Jesus, and he was with them coming in and going out Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had all the churches rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. The church was glad when Saul got saved. Can I tell you, the people in my community were glad when I got saved? We won't be seeing them Pomponas boys at our house at midnight anymore. You know? Our mailbox won't be getting knocked down. Our flowers won't be getting torn up. Our house won't be being toilet papered. They won't be dying in my swimming pool. I mean, we did a lot of wickedness in the neighborhood. But you know, they were glad when we got saved. The community was glad that we got saved. Wouldn't the country be glad if Joe Biden got saved? I mean, lost Catholic going to hell. Wouldn't it be good if he got saved? Wouldn't it be good if Mitch McConnell got saved, Nancy Pelosi got saved, and Chuck Schumer got saved? Hallelujah. And Kevin McCarthy got saved. Wouldn't it be good if all them reprobates up there in Congress turned to Jesus Christ? Man, our whole nation would shout and rejoice. The father said, "Son, it was meet that we should make merry. Your brother was lost, but now he's found." You know, I've seen people get mad when people come to Christ and get saved. And I thought, what is wrong with this picture? I have seen people get mad when people come into church that are unsaved. What are they doing here? Same thing you're doing here, amen. Exact same thing. Do we not want sinners to come to Jesus Christ? I'm not escorting them out the door. I'll show them the front seat. Sit down and hear the gospel be preached, and I'll be glad about it. I've always been glad when sinners came into the house of God. Hey, it's meet that we should make merry when a sinner gets saved. I mean, the angels are rejoicing. When someone's been changed, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things are passed away, but all things become new. Can we not rejoice that someone's life has been changed? Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I mean, when the Holy Ghost comes into somebody at the moment of salvation, their life is completely changed. And we can rejoice over it. Not only when sinners being saved, but when saints repenting. You know, I believe that saints need to repent. You know, you can take this prodigal son story and you can make it as prodigal two things. You can make him a sinner or you can make him a backslidden child of God. And both are applicable. You know how many kids I've seen to church, come to church, get backslidden, leave the church, and come back in pieces? You know what repenting is all about? It's about coming to yourself. It's about coming to yourself. If you look what it says there, in verse number 17, it says, "And when he came to himself." Man, kids got to come to themselves and realize how foolish they've been and are being. You know, it's funny when someone's going the wrong direction, you can't hardly, they won't hear a word you're trying to tell them. Because they have done made up their mind. You know how many people I've seen have made up their mind? And they have made up their mind, they're going to do what they want to do, come hell or high water. You know what I say? There's the door. If that's what you want, have at it. But you're going to find out just like the prodigal did. And it ain't going to take very long. You know what the sad thing is? That people who get in the mire and decide to wallow in it. You know what the prodigal son never did? He decided, "I am not going to wallow in the mire. I'm here, but I don't want to be here." You know, you say, well, when they hit bottom, they'll come up. No, they hit bottom and dig in the dirt. I mean, remember Pharaoh? What did Pharaoh say? Pharaoh said, "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." God brought the plagues on them. And they had the frogs. And he said, entreat the Lord, take away the frogs. And Moses said, well, when do you want the frogs to leave? You know what I said? Right now, for God's sake, I want them to leave right now. You know what Pharaoh said? Tomorrow. Well, just give me one more night of sin and shame and stink and being defiled. Oh, yeah, give me one more night of that. I'm loving living with the frogs. No, the prodigal came to himself. And it usually takes a lot of suffering to come to yourself. To have your eyes open and to wake up. It says that when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have enough bread and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Man, when are you going to realize there's bread at the Father's house? Hallelujah. You know, it's funny that the house of God's called the house of bread, house of prayer. I mean, there's help in the house of God. But you got to come to yourself. When you're repenting, when a saint's repenting, they got to come to themselves and they got to change their mind. He said, I will arise and go to my Father. You know, that's what repentance is. I will arise and go to my Father. And do what? Confession of sin. And will say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Brother Jim Pershing preached yesterday, and he gave a great testimony about his dad. Got saved. His dad got saved, not saved, but his dad was raised in church. He was saved, Christian man. He got out of church for about 10 years, and then he got and he got back in church. And the day that he went back to church, him and his wife, they came forward and they repented there at the altar. And the pastor called them up and he said, well, listen, we had a couple come this morning and they want to rededicate their lives. He says, excuse me, pastor, I don't want to rededicate my life. I came to confess my sin to God. You know what you need to come to the altar to do? Confess your sin to God. You don't got to tell me what your sin was. But God wants to hear it from your own lips. What did that prodigal do? He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's confession of sin. You know what I've learned when I'm confessing sin? God wants me to be specific. I tell God what I am. God, I'm a low-down, good-for-nothing, this, that, and the other thing. And I am not worthy to be even to be a child of God. My pride and my lust and my greed and my wickedness and my anger and my malice. God, I name every sin I can possibly name. There's 13 sins in Mark chapter number 7, and my heart is filled with every one of them. They said, not you. You say, not you, Brother Chris. Every one of us have the same problem. Coming to yourself, changing your mind, confessing your sins. You know what it feels so... They say confession is good for the soul. I found that to be true. When I confess to God and am specific, I feel so clean. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just for us and to cleanse us from all. I've never gone to God and said, well, Lord, if I've done something wrong, and the Lord's laughing in heaven. If you've done something wrong, your rap sheet's this long, son. If you've done something, you've done a lot of things wrong. And that's just today. You ever read that Tweety Bird prayer? It's hilarious. Tweety gets up in the morning. You don't know it, but he's confessing all of his sin. And he gets done confessing all his terrible sin, and then Tweety Bird says, now, Lord, it's almost time to get up, and I'm really going to need your help. You understand what I'm saying here? I need God's help every day. And I got to repent on a daily basis. You see, you know why David was forgiven after he committed murder and adultery? Because he acknowledged his sin. It's me. Oh, it's me, oh Lord. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. You got to acknowledge your sin. Accept the consequences for your sin and admit that you are wrong. David did all those things and God said, David, I've put your sin away. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What did the prodigal's father say? Son, it was meet that we should make merry. Hey, it's meet that we should be merry over sinners being saved and saints repenting. I'm so glad when people come to church and say, listen, I've made a mess out of my life and I want to get my life back where it's supposed to be. I want to get back into the fellowship. I want to get back into serving God. I want to get back to being the Christian that I know that I am. We can rejoice over that. Verse 25 in our text in Luke 15. Thank God we can rejoice over the songs of praise. I love verse 25. It says, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house, and he heard the music and the dancing. Man, they were having a hoedown. They were singing and they were shouting. And there was, hey, they. You say, what is singing? What is songs of praise? It's an expression of joy. An expression of joy. In Psalms chapter number 40, when God brings that person out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay, in Psalms chapter number 40, and verse number 3, after he's come out of the pit, after he's set upon a rock, it says, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth now the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. People say, well, I hate the song service. Well, why is that? Because something's missing on the inside. I love the song service. Ephesians 5 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, if I walk up in the church and, hey, I don't want to miss the singing. Because it's an expression of joy. You read over there in the book of Psalms over and over and over. Singing is an expression of joy, giving God the honor and glory. You know what Moses did as soon as they crossed the Red Sea and the Egyptians were drowned? It says in Exodus 15:1, then sang Moses. They had this group of people got saved in New Guinea. And they've been trying to witness to them and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's 200 to 300 people in the tribe. And at one instant, they understood the message of salvation. And they erupted instantly into singing and dancing. Because they'd understood the message of salvation. Where's your joy? You know, it's meet that we should make merry. We ought to come in and sing and shout and raise our hand and say amen and hallelujah and praise God and get excited. Because we got something to sing about. That's why David wrote all them psalms. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Where's your joy? Now, if you're living in sin, you ain't going to have a whole lot of joy. I understand that. If your heart's not right with God, you're not going to have a whole lot of joy. I get it. But the father said, son, it's meet that we should make merry. How come you can't understand that we're singing and rejoicing here? Because I don't get it. What are they doing in there? We're singing, making melody in our heart unto the Lord. Can I tell you? It's meet that we should make merry at the sound of the gospel. When we sing that song, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. The most joyous sound in the world is the sound of the gospel. And Luke chapter number 1, Luke 1 and verse number 41, when Mary comes to Elizabeth, it says, it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, what was John doing? He was shouting for joy at the sound of the gospel of Mary and Jesus Christ in her womb. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Isn't it funny she spake out with a loud voice? Man, she got excited. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as thy voice or thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Hey, the sound of the gospel make you rejoice. There's nothing more beautiful than the sound of the gospel. Nothing more beautiful. So Isaiah 52 verse 1 says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on the beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of the neck of a captive daughter. Skip down a few verses here. Verse number 6, he says, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in the day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with a voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste place of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Preaching makes me rejoice. And there's nothing more beautiful than for a person to take a Bible and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. The sound of the gospel that changes lives and creates joy. The sound of the gospel is so powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why do you think people flock to hear Jesus Christ? Why do you think the little boys and girls cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, to Jesus Christ? And then Pharisees said, tell them to hold their peace. He said, I tell you, the rocks and stones will cry out if they do. Hey, thank God for the joyful sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And lastly is this. He said, son, it was meet that we should make merry. Nor the sound of the gospel, but the second coming of Christ. How is Christ going to come when he comes? Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious freedom of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But when He comes, it's going to be with a shout of the archangel and with a trump of God. What do you think people are going to do when they come out of the ground? They are going to shout. They are going to shout. When they come up out of that ground and they got a new body, they are going to shout hallelujah from the top of their lungs. And we're going to shout with them. Because they're going to grab our hand as they go up. Hallelujah. We're going to shout together. They say it's shouting time in heaven. It's going to be shouting time in the clouds. Hallelujah. The saints are going to shout. The angels are going to shout. And creation is going to shout. Thank God them people are gone. Thank God the end is coming. Thank God all creation will be restored. You read over there in Romans chapter number 8, 19. The Bible says that even creation's groaning. The earth is groaning. The creatures are groaning. Everything is groaning. And they're going to shout when Jesus makes all things new. But not only that, there's going to be a marriage supper in heaven. What's the best part of the wedding? Well, we know what that is, the reception. Right? The wedding is for the man and woman. The reception is for the guest. Doesn't Revelation 19 verse 5 say there's going to be a marriage supper in heaven? Surely it does. It says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean, white, and fine linen, so righteous of the saints. And He saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called in the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saith unto me, these things, these are true, the true sayings of God. We're going to shout. And we're going to rejoice at the marriage supper of the Lamb. If everybody could just figure it out. He said, son, it was meet we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Can I say this morning? Hey, we ought to be rejoicing when a sinner gets saved. We ought to rejoice when the saints repent. We ought to rejoice over the songs of praise. We ought to rejoice over the sound of the gospel. And we're going to rejoice at the second coming. You got any joy this morning? It's not hard to figure out who has joy and who doesn't. Joy comes from walking with Jesus Christ. If you're not walking with God, you ain't going to have no joy. And if you don't know God, you ain't going to have no joy. And you sure aren't going to be looking forward to the second coming of Christ. I have seen sinners run out that back door. They were under so much conviction. And I've seen backsliders do just the same. They've hated every minute of it. Prodigal's brother wasn't loving it. Was he now? He was hating every minute of it. And he wouldn't even go in. Am I surprised when people sit in the car and won't come into church? I'm not surprised. They wouldn't be the first one to do it. You see, the joy of the Holy Ghost is an amazing thing. It's a great thing to have it, and it's a terrible thing not to have it. Got any joy this morning? Is the Holy Ghost bubbling up inside? You see, Brother Chris, you know what it is to be backslidden? I do. I've been mad at the preacher because he preached 5 minutes too long. because I want to go out and do some sinning when he was done. I've been mad because other people were spiritual when I was unspiritual. Oh, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand for prayer. You don't have the joy of the Holy Ghost? You know what my prayer is? It's that you'll get it. And that you'll find it. But most importantly, that you'll come to yourself. That you'll come to yourself. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning.